you ready, man? I'll have the card up here in a second.
Yeah, no problem, man. Like I said, we'll be able to knock this out.
I told him, because he asked how long, and I told him 20-ish minutes. He said, I got 20, so we'll try to keep it short.
Yeah, well, I got a pre-tape. We got to record Jared Poche at 1.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll rock, man. Yeah, he just retired. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Well, dude, I mean, he's getting paid jack shit.
He can get it. Me and Ray were talking about he can get a job anywhere. If he comes back to Louisiana, he'll get hired anywhere in Baton Rouge.
Well, he'll just get hired, period. I feel like he stayed for his entire year. He's got a college degree. It's not like some of them.
Right, yeah, and he's got the degree. Good call. Good call.
Good shout.
All right, man, here we go.
That's just how the whole podcast should start.
That's like, yeah, Jared Poche and wrestling.
It is Acadiana's
reigning, defending, undisputed
number one sports talk station. And this is its exclusive podcast on the sport of
professional wrestling.
103.7 The Game's 20x20 Pro Graps podcast is scheduled for one fall. 20 minutes on everything happening inside the 20x20 squared circle.
Are you ready?
Ring the bell.
And welcome, everyone, to a special edition of the 20x20 Pro Graps podcast here on 103.7 The Game.
Why is it so special, Clint?
Yes, we're taking it to the extreme.
Oh, is that why?
It's Extreme Rules this Sunday, Cody. And it's going to be a relatively shorter one because, honestly, like last week we missed because of the 4th of July weekend. We were all trying to get the hell out of here. We did. We were uber busy on the Wednesday, and then Thursday we weren't in the studio at all. Friday, kind of the same thing. It's a whole different conversation for a whole different podcast. But, of course, we're here.
But.
And we're about to get to some Extreme Rules talk, Fight for the Fallen going on this Saturday as well. But we're going to stick more towards what's going on in the WWE side of things with Extreme Rules. Definitely an interesting card, to say the least, with a lot of surprises, I feel like, especially Aleister Black and Cesaro.
Right. This will be an interesting show all the way around following Stomping Grounds, which had very little expectations, and that actually ended up doing...
Well, it's the fact it was like 2 weeks after Super Show.
Right, but a lot of people were just looking at it as you know, this is going to be a bad show.
How can you follow up on a show that meets or exceeds the hype of WrestleMania?
You're right. It's that curse of being that show after the biggest show ever.
Like the greatest show. the greatest showman.
But
starring Braun Strowman.
Extreme Rules had a funny build for me because it built itself as it felt like a more important pay-per-view than Stomping Grounds. And yet when I look at the card, maybe that's not the case. I don't know. I think
some of it's a rerun.
I think we could get like a flip-flop situation to where Stomping Grounds was expected to be bad and ended up being good. And I think Extreme Rules, which is expected to be pretty good-ish for the most part, could end up maybe not being good at all. So we'll see. Regardless, we'll start with the match where we always start. It's the one for the purple belt.
Yay!
It's the Cruiserweight Championship.
I'm so glad about this.
Gabagulak, Drew Gulak against Tony Eightpack Nice.
A full disclaimer, I'm probably not going to wind up being able to watch the show this Sunday.
Oh, no.
Because more likely than not, we'll probably already be in Alabama.
Oh, for SEC Media Days. True dat.
But I'm gonna try to. Maybe there'll be like a sports bar in Hoover, Alabama.
Maybe if you had the WWE Network for $9.99 a month, you could watch it on your phone, Clint.
Well, hypothetically, I could just
get the free month.
I could just go like to like the Walgreens or Walmart here and grab like one of those 3 month cards.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. So multiple ways if you really wanted to watch it. Yeah. I'm going to go with Gabagulak.
Or the ways that I normally do it.
Well, don't talk about that here. I'm going to go with Drew Gulak.
I'm going to get some somethingwrestling.org.net.au. I never said the full website.
Remove from podcast.
Delete.
Why are you picking Drew Gulak here? Because he is the official cruiserweight of the 20x20 podcast.
He just won the title. Like, you're not going to take the belt off of him to give it back to Mr. 8-Pack. You're not going to be playing hot potato. They haven't done that.
No, they really haven't.
Drew Gulak, Gabagulak, you got to give him the opportunity to really start developing his character and developing himself as being, now that he's the Cruiserweight champion of 205, now that he's the champion of 205 Live, you can have him, like we talked about, start implementing new rules for 205 Live. No dives. No top rope moves.
Oh, basically,
he had Bill Watts back in the booking chair.
So we're both on the same page here. We're going with Gabba Gulak, which will most likely be on the pre-show. I just want to point out, sidebar.
Yeah.
Here, Clint, I'm looking on the new WWE.com. Extreme Rules 2018. Do you remember Dolph Ziggler beating Seth Rollins in overtime of an Iron Man match for the IC title? Because yeah. That's a thing that happened.
Yeah, I remember.
I don't really remember that. That's a thing that happened, though.
Do you remember?
The B-Team won tag team championships last year at Extreme Rules. This is great.
Two years ago, Sheamus and Cesaro won the Raw Tag Team titles at Extreme Rules.
And we met him.
Yeah, friends of the program, and we got to see the titles in person.
Well, speaking of one half of the former The Bar, which is really funny, I guess Cesaro now by himself is The Bar. Sheamus is no longer part of The Bar.
It's awesome. He's still part of The Bar.
The Bar. We've got Aleister Black and the man who knocked on his door and then didn't show up and then said he wasn't going to show up to reveal himself, but then did show up to reveal himself, playing all kind of mind games. Big Dick Tony.
Who looked like Jaws from James Bond.
He looked like every James Bond villain ever if they were a WWE wrestler.
It's like with the mouthpiece, he looked like Jaws from the James Bond movies.
But this is a pretty easy one.
A fun fact, because we love fun facts here. Mm-hmm. I believe that's the same guy that played the dude from Happy Gilmore that beat up Shooter.
No, the really tall guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Richard Kiel.
He's very easy to recognize, at least. No way Aleister Black loses this match. Cesaro, a great pick, I think, by WWE for it. It'll be a very good match. It'll be fun to watch, and then Aleister Black will get the win, and we'll all be better for it.
It will all be better for it, but more importantly, the WWE universe will be better for it, because we finally get to see Aleister Black start having a push, because it feels like he had one, but didn't really get off the ground. And then once they broke up him and Ricochet for some unforeseen reason, the push stopped, if you will.
I feel like they broke them up because Ciampa got hurt. And so since there wasn't one NXT tag team, they didn't want to have another. But that's speculation.
Still fuck Ciampa.
Yeah. Now we've got another match that actually might find its way onto the pre-show. I don't know. None of them are labeled on new WWE.com. But the Raw Tag Team Champion. Did I say Raw? The Raw Tag Team Champions,
Monday
The Revival,
Rog.
Versus
Give me some
the
grog.
Usos. The current, by the way, I forget. I believe it's Jimmy Uso is the current up, up, down, down heavyweight champion. So he just beat R-Truth in a game of...
No, it was Kofi.
What video? Was my video dated then slightly?
No.
I watched one yesterday.
Kofi was the champion, and Jimmy beat Kofi in a game of Tetris.
And then Jimmy played R-Truth. I think it was yesterday they uploaded. No, it was when they were in Oslo is when this was up.
Yeah, well, like I said, they taped these like so far
right.
in advance.
But Jimmy played R-Truth in a game, and it was a fighting game of like Weapon Master or something like that. Uh-huh. And it went to the final match, but R-Truth lost.
Yeah, well,
so Jimmy, still your up, up, down, down champion. And after this, the Revival will still be your Raw Tag Team Champions, whether it by shenanigans or a clean victory.
There's going to be shenanigans all
probably,
over the place.
Probably, some tomfoolery.
I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey, Farva. No, go ahead.
Kind of, what's the place you like? Well, like weird shit on the wall.
Oh, shenanigans.
Such a good movie.
So why do you have the Revival here, Clint? I assume you do.
Oh, it's the same kind of reason you do. It's the bullshit that's going to happen.
Here's a better question. Is this on the pre-show?
No.
No, okay. Makes me like it.
Because the Revival are friends with Shane McMahon. He's not going to put his boys in the pre-show.
You're right, unless they ask to be on the pre-show.
Why would they ask to be on the pre-show?
Let's keep talking matches here. I got one that I think is maybe happening a little too soon. I would have rather seen this build all the way to SummerSlam, but who the hell cares? It'll be fun to watch, I guess. Anyways, Braun Strowman, Bobby Lashley, last man standing.
Lashley wins just because Braun doesn't show up. How can does he have like a detached hip?
Ruptured spleen, I think, was what they went with.
Like anal bleeding.
Okay, so you're picking Bobby Lashley because of Braun Strowman's anal bleeding. I will pick Braun Strowman because of his anal bleeding. He's going to be very mad, very angry, and he will come and win. And I think they destroy the stage. I think it's just going to be just a shit show.
Then that's the main event?
No, they destroyed a part of the stage and continued on.
No, but you're saying that they destroyed the whole stage.
Fuck it. No, they destroy the whole stage, but not the ramp. So, like, you can, like, walk through, like, rubble and shit to get to the ramp, and then you're fine once you get to the ramp. So that's my prediction.
No, they break the ring, too. So it's just like it's like in Bloodsport, whenever it's Jean-Claude Van Damme and that big – and I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
We'll just draw a big chalk circle on the ground. But stay inside the circle.
They just have to fight. Like, the ring is broken, but they still can fight in it because it's level.
It's just a little low. It's
like
fine.
I said, just like in Bloodsport.
So we differ on this one. I think Braun's going to win here just because WWE doesn't care about Bobby Lashley. But
they should.
Bobby Lashley winning makes more sense. I agree with you. But in a prediction scenario, I'm going to take Braun just because I don't think WWE cares at all about Bobby Lashley. As I continue to scroll up, we've got the United States Championship match. This is going to be a good one.
I think this is going to be towards the top of the card.
I heard this joke the other day on YouTube, and I laughed very hard. Irish wrestling legend Rick O'Shea will be against AJ Styles for the United States Championship. The club, no doubt, at ringside.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole internet meme on Reddit, I believe. Rick O'Shea. Yeah, well, it's because it's all about, how they keep removing the last names and stuff.
Right.
Instead of Ricochet, they just call him Rick.
Rick.
Rick O'Shea.
O'Shea. And he's Irish, but he's not. That's the joke.
So we get to see Ricochet, AJ Styles, and then 3 days later we get to see Casey Catanzaro's reaction to it. to her boyfriend losing the U.S. title.
Well,
when are we going to see the winner take all match for Ricochet and Casey Catanzaro taking on, Bayley and Finn Balor?
Would you like to see that?
I'd be interested to see. Like I said, winner take all matches are the best.
We'll get to our winners take all match in a little bit here. This is a tough one to pick for me, Ricochet or AJ Styles. I honestly don't know. Ricochet just won the belt, but AJ just reformed the club.
Yeah, you're progressing the storyline, basically.
So, but maybe this ends in a DQ sometime. I think this has a dusty finish, some which way or the other, that Ricochet gets to retain, but AJ gets to be like, oh, what the hell? I'm AJ Styles. I just got the club back together, and you think you're going to walk out here and disqualify yourself so I can't win the United States Championship? That's not going to fly, Rick O'Shea. I'm AJ Styles. This is too sweet, and I will get that belt from you. So I think Ricochet wins for now, and this goes all the way to SummerSlam. This is AJ Styles' SummerSlam match.
I'd have to. I think it's going to go to SummerSlam. I can't wait to see who it's going to have with those two.
And I think the club, being Gallo, the Good Brothers, more specifically, are going to have to find some other feud to where it kind of like the Undisputed Era in NXT, where Adam Cole is doing his one thing for a more major belt.
Yeah.
While Kyle O'Reilly and I know, isn't one of them hurt right now?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Bobby Fish is maybe hurt or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
But how the other guys in Undisputed Era are going after the tag titles.
All the belts,
exactly. I think maybe the club could kind of follow that.
Oh, of course.
Here.
I think you could definitely pull that off. You don't have to have them .
Well, you're already doing that right now with the New Day. You have that opportunity at this show with the New Day to put all the belts on one stable.
It will happen.
I don't think they'll do it, but they could if they wanted. So
they didn't give it to certain.
I'm
going to
say a long way around of saying Ricochet wins, but in some crazy way that this feud absolutely continues. AJ Styles is going to be, or maybe Ricochet wins absolutely clean, and then when AJ after he loses clean by wacky roll up or something like that, then the Good Brothers come in and beat the hell out of everybody.
That'd be awesome. Not going to lie, I would love to see that.
So we'll see how that all works out. Next up on Lay Card is that aforementioned match featuring two members of The New Day. We've got the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match. The New Daniel Bryan and Rowan taking on The New Day, Big E and Xavier Woods. And then Heavy Machinery are in there to take the pin. We've got Otis and Tucky.
No!
Oh, they're in there to take the pin and
No, they're going to win the damn thing.
They're not winning. Pick with your heart, though, Clint. I love it. Go ahead.
I got to go with Otis and Tucky. Oh, my God. Stakes and weights. I mean,
we're blue-collar solid.
That double suplex was fucking amazing.
Yeah, they're in here to take the pin. Tucky's taking the pin here.
Fuck off.
I'm sorry. I want them to win, but yeah, Daniel Bryan is probably the best champion in WWE right now.
Wait, what?
Like, as far as just his overall work, he's probably the best guy holding a belt in WWE right now.
It's Kofi Kingston.
Kofi Kingston's promos have been, I won at WrestleMania.
Well, I mean,
I love Kofi Kingston. I'm still cheering hard for him. But they haven't. I mean, they booked him strong too, which is great. Which is really
great. Never lost.
It's really great. They booked him strong, but his promos compared to Daniel Bryan, it's not a fair comparison. It's just unfair.
Well, Daniel Bryan's just, you are fickle. I'm saving the planet.
That was a long time ago.
It's the same fucking thing. He's the tag team champions of the planet.
And he's still got, but we get Captain Planet chants from the crowd whenever he has his
matches.
And
we get Rowan still with the Titantron with the Recycle logo.
Hey, Recyclable Rowan. Who do you have? You have Heavy Machinery, you said here.
I
would love to see New Day win. I would love to see Heavy Machinery win even more. What we're going to see is Daniel Bryan and Rowan win because they are trying to rebuild this division.
They need more than three people.
They do. The Hardy Boys are still hurt. Jeff, you need to get back.
Bring the Street Profits over.
It's a little bit of a tease, but they're more Raw guys, right?
Well, they're not even part of like the roster, really, when you think about it, like unofficially.
They're just hype men for Extreme Rules so far.
Yeah.
Now we've got another Extreme Rules match. Well, it's not really Extreme Rules, but it's a gimmick match. Ooh, because Extreme Rules. Pew, 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 pew. 2-on-1 handicap match for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Bayley versus Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross.
All right, so let me just get this straight. So if Nikki Cross wins, if Nikki Cross wins, does Nikki Cross win the title?
According to Nikki Cross from SmackDown, they are going to be the first ever SmackDown Women's Champions.
I'm glad
you kind of turned on to Arnold Schwarzenegger at the end there.
I'm glad you put the emphasis on like SmackDown because they had co-champions before,
right?
They were on SmackDown, but they weren't.
They were just Divas champs, right? They were co-Divas champs, I believe. Huh?
Eventually, they were like Women's Champion, and they merged the titles together, and it wound up becoming the Divas Championship.
Butterfly Belt, never forget.
10 things WWE wants to forget.
They do, though. They really do.
But I gotta go with Bayley here, and I think Nikki takes the pin so Alexa Bliss can finally turn on Nikki, and we get to see Nikki become batshit crazy again.
All right, here comes my internet conspiracy theories out the woodwork. Put on your tinfoil hats. Nikki Cross.
It's time for Black Helicopters.
It is. Told Bayley on SmackDown, Nikki said, Bayley, you need to learn how to get you some friends. Like me and Alexa Bliss, who are loyal, and they'll always stand by you. And that is now telegraphing to me and to a wide member of the internet wrestling fan base that Sasha Banks will return at Extreme Rules to help Bayley can keep her championship. So that's what I'm going to go with. Bayley wins because Sasha Banks shows up, and then we have an Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross, SummerSlam pre-show match in the making.
No, that needs to be part of the main card because you can build that bad boy up.
I guess if you build it right, maybe not on the pre-show, but I think Sasha Banks makes her return and enough time to build for her having a big match maybe against Bayley at SummerSlam.
Okay.
No rebuttal. Fair enough. That means it's a yes. It's going to happen. Confirmed.
No.
Now we've got more matches to talk about, my friend. Let's talk about Kofi Kingston and Samoa Joe WWE Championship match.
All right. Kofi Kingston wins because it's feud. This one's going to go another month.
Okay. So this one extends somehow.
Yeah. Basically, you have Joe creeping on his kids again.
I think.
Who, by the way, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but you saw the videos of him. Basically the whole, which I think, where you got the like at the ESPYs last night, like they. Kofi Kingston, his wife, and the kids were there, and like the poses they had, it was like they already know how to pose. It's the best.
Oh, they're right. They're ready. They're already
Kofi's
being
kids
groomed.
Must pose.
But here, I'm gonna take Kofi Kingston, but I think this feud should continue, and Samoa Joe should probably be the guy to take the belt off of Kofi.
He should, but I think he'd do it at SummerSlam.
Yeah, maybe wait a little bit longer. Maybe you have the New Day being Xavier Woods and Big E. They're all pissed off now because Samoa Joe is calling out their boys saying Kofi can't do anything on his own. And maybe they lose their cool and run out and get Kofi disqualified or something like that. I don't know. We'll see. We both have Kofi winning and this feud continuing into the summer. Or farther into the summer, I should say. I got two more matches for you. Let's do the more important match next. The more important match, if WWE would have your belief. The Undertaker and Roman Reigns.
Why is Undertaker coming back?
Because he had a shit match against Goldberg, and he's got to get that taste out of people's mouths as quick as possible. No holds barred. Shane McMahon, Drew McIntyre, Undertaker, Roman Reigns. I will tell you right now, my prediction for this match is I really don't give a flying fuck.
Yeah.
I could care less. I don't want to pick. I could care less. I honestly don't care.
Can we have like Sting make it a no contest so everybody can start talking about it again?
Like maybe Shane McMahon will show up drunk or something, and they won't have the match.
Basically, go give him the smack back Jeff Hardy mode.
The only way this match is saved and anything good comes out of it for anybody is if Drew McIntyre pins The Undertaker in this match, and then that leads to a huge SummerSlam or a WrestleMania match where Drew McIntyre can then one-on-one pin The Undertaker. Undertaker can finally retire, and Drew McIntyre can be the main event heel that he needs to be.
He retires and he unretires.
Oh, he probably will. Last match
here. He needs that sweet Saudi oil money to feed his kids.
We've got Becky Lynch and
Seth McCool.
Rollins. They are respective champions of their own brands against beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Baron Corbin. And Lacey Evans is there too.
All right, who's like the worst kind of like character right now in wrestling? Is it Baron Corbin, Lacey Evans, or is it the Librarians in AEW?
I think it's Mojo Rawley.
Mojo Rawley's not there.
Like, you mean like relevant character? Oh, yeah. Okay. What were the Librarians and what?
Librarians or Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans?
I haven't seen too much of the Librarians, but I know a lot of people complain about the Librarians. I know a lot of people complain about Baron Corbin, too. So I'll call it a tie for right now because I honestly don't. You know what? I'm going to go with the Librarians because you're pissing me off, and I know that's their thing.
Yes, that's exactly why. It's like, and the sketch was so bad at Fyter Fest. But I got to go with Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. Because just get Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans the fuck away from like the main event forever.
Yeah, please.
Like, they didn't belong there to begin with, and then he just kept it on and on and on. I'm like, I'm sorry, you know. Unless we have Lacey Evans say she's pregnant and makes him a Baron Corbin a cuck.
Stop. Yeah, Becky and Seth win here. Clint, I want to end today's 20x20 with some breaking news, something that I think all wrestling fans.
Baron and Mike the cucks.
Worldwide would love to know this. I have the inside scoop for you, and this, I think, is no better way to end the podcast by letting you and everyone know that Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins, they're in a personal real-life relationship,
Clint, yeah.
If you didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
Breaking news.
Breaking news, Maria's pregnant, and nobody knows who the dad is.
Now, who's the daddy?
And also in breaking news, Drake Maverick and Renee still have not fucked.
And also in not-so-breaking news, this Friday, so coming up, I guess, technically tomorrow on day of recording, don't watch the Evolve thing live. Watch Fight for
Saturday.
The Fallen. Is it Saturday? Don't watch the Evolve thing live.
Watch both.
Watch Fight for the Fallen live.
Watch both.
Get all your proceeds. Get for a good cause
watch
there.
Watch both.
And then turn around
watch
later
both.
And watch the Evolve show
watch
on the
both.
WWE Network on like Sunday morning as you're gearing up.
Well,
for
technically,
Extreme
Fight for
the
Fallen's free, so.
But they get proceeds for watching it. It's a charity show. You should watch the charity show first. You know what, Clint? I'm not going to argue with you if you should watch the charity show over the WWE show.
Watch both. Watch both.
That's it. We're done. I disagree.
The 20x20 Programs podcast is so overdog. Make sure you leave us 5-star rating, 6 stars. If you're in the Tokyo Dome, 7 stars if you're watching the Evolve show and Fight for the Fallen.
Both.
Watch both. That's it. We're done.